This is episode 87 of the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops with Kevin Allen from Probax. In this episode, we talk about Probax's new features as well as cloud backup solutions. You can support this podcast by purchasing guides from www.ciaops.com/publications. There you will find a range of information on using technologies like SharePoint and Office 365. You'll also find templates there to use on your own SharePoint site to help your business get up to speed quickly. Resell options are also available. All of this can be downloaded immediately at www.ciaops.com/publications. All right, so we're back for another episode of the Need to Know podcast. Just a bit of an intro here, as per usual, before we get into the meat of the message. And again, always looking for some co-presenters or some guests to appear on the podcast. If you know somebody or are interested, please get in contact with me. Best way is probably via email, director@ciaops.com. And don't forget the Cloud Business Blueprint over at cloudbusinessblueprint.com. That's a community that I manage and maintain that's aimed at resellers and helping them take opportunity of what is available with the new cloud solutions. So what I'll briefly also talk about here, a bit of a change of tack. I'm going to speak about three books I'd certainly recommend to anybody, all by the same author. So the author is Mike Malkovitz. And the three books I'd certainly commend that you have a look at is Profit First, Pumpkin Plan, and The Toilet Paper Entrepreneur. So you can read them in any order. Profit First is a good book to look at to managing financials. And if you're having trouble with that, he has a very simple focus on how to ensure that you're putting away money to cover every aspect. So whether it's something you enjoy, covering your bills, very good lessons to be made out of that one. The Pumpkin Plan and The Toilet Paper Entrepreneur are very good for those of you in business, especially running a small business. They give you some very sensible, easy strategies to follow to grow your business, and especially applicable if you're particularly small. And I think in many cases, people seem to think that there is a need in their business to keep scaling it, keep growing it, make it bigger and bigger and bigger, add bigger employees. I just don't think that that is necessarily the case for a lot of people these days. I think you can manage an organization and be quite profitable while remaining quite small. So again, the three books there are Profit First, Pumpkin Plan, and Toilet Paper Entrepreneur, are all available from Mike Malkovitz, and I will put the links to those directly in the show notes for today's episode. Now, don't forget, you can connect to me via Skype for Business. You'll do that via admin@ciaops365.com. Also appreciate any iTunes reviews and on Stitcher Radio, or again, letting me know directly, which you can do at www.ciaops.com/contact. But with that, let's get into this episode. Welcome along to another Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. My name is Robert Crane, and for this episode, I'm joined by Kevin Allen. Kevin, welcome.
Hi, Robert. How are you?
Not too bad. It's been a long time since we've chatted. For those who aren't regular followers of the podcast, you should cast your eyes back to episode 22, way back in January 2012, when Kevin was actually on under another guise as corporate backup. So I think we probably better get you to give us a bit of an update on what's happened since then, where you are, and what's going on in your end.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Robert. Well, I guess a lot's happened in the last 3.5 years. I head up the technical development of the Probax platform now. Corporate backup basically developed our file-based backup software. That evolved over the past few years. We've had a bit of a rebrand into the Probax platform. So we're a reseller-driven cloud backup and management platform that allows our resellers to monitor many different types of backups from different software vendors, all from one management platform. So our resellers have access to a multi-tenant console, which they log into, allows them to create backups for their users, for their clients, and choose backup storage in a location that's best for them. We currently have storage in both Perth and Melbourne. And resellers can choose the software that they're they can choose to use our software, or they can choose to use software that they're already using, such as Shadow Protect and Veeam. There are two major integrations. And of course, our storage options are very configurable. It's just a matter of setting the type of backup in the ProBax platform. And then we set up different options for management, such as an email report. And it's just designed to give our resellers the option of using whatever backup software is best for their client and not just the only one that they might have available.
So, I mean, I think obviously the world's changed a lot, even in the 3 years since we've spoken, and we're looking at a world where web storage is pretty plentiful and pretty cheap. I mean, obviously you've got the big players like the AWSs, you've got the Google, you've got potentially Office 365 sort of stuff. Where do you see yourself fitting into that? Obviously, you're a reseller focused organization, but I mean, what's the benefit that a reseller could take to their end user of a solution that you're providing? Is it just something that the reseller gets benefit out of it, or is it something that the end user also would benefit from?
It's a bit of both. So how I differentiate it is the difference between us being cloud backup and AWS, for example, being cloud storage. So cloud storage is basically just dumb storage that you can't really do a whole lot with. Whereas the difference with ProBax is we have that management layer on top. So the brains that provides the monitoring reporting, that's ProBax control. And our storage is high performance. So it's extremely fast. It's highly available. And it allows fast processing of our backup images such as Shadow Protect and Veeam so that we can actually do stuff with it on our side instead of just pushing it off to the, say, dumb storage that is just going to keep growing and growing and growing.
So is the storage effectively, is the only thing that you can store like blob storage, or do you do files and folders? I mean, what's the difference
there?
We do
files and folders as well. So we've got different storage types that are set up for different types of backups. So for example, our main high performance storage, that's set up for large backup images, such as Shadow Protect and Veeam, and we have processing accordingly on top of that. We also have our File Plus software. Now that's been with us since we started nearly 10 years ago now. And that provides backup of critical data such as files, Exchange, SQL. And obviously there, that's client and server-side deduplication. So the file sizes we're looking at are a lot smaller. But we find it fits a niche where MSP might be backing up their client servers with Shadow Protect or Veeam, but they still need to be able to back up, say, the company director's laptop who may not be in the office a whole lot. And then they can still bill the client for the combined amount of data storage.
So, I mean, in the grander scheme of things, isn't, effectively the way cloud storage is going is it's effectively going to a zero price point. It's going to be free for everything. Do you see it that's the way it's going to go? I mean, well, I suppose what I'm trying to say is that, to me it seems to an extent that maybe the backup market stuff is a fairly crowded game, to say the least. I mean, is there a competitive advantage of offering what you are above some of the others?
And I guess that comes back to the management side of things. So I guess with any IT company or MSP, part of their offering to their clients is going to be the backup component and hopefully the offsite backup as well. Now, they don't want their tech spending a whole lot of time managing that backup. Even if the storage were to cost next to nothing, then they're still going to need time invested by their engineers to make sure it's all working fine. And our management layer on top is to ensure that engineer time doesn't get out of control and they can still make a decent margin on what they're selling to their customer.
So again, obviously many MSPs are going to be providing this as, bundle it up as a service under their name. And obviously you would support the ability to do white labeling. But what about when it comes to some of the issues around SLA? So, I mean, does, for example, the MSP just take your SLAs and put them into the contract with the customer? I mean, how do you approach that sort of environment where, the MSP's been doing on-site backup or monitoring it to tape or USB. Now they're doing it across the internet to your service, and obviously there are SLAs, there are other sort of contingencies that could happen. How do they work that into their agreements?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously the best thing or the easiest thing for them to do is just use our SLAs and put their name on it. We've had our SLAs tailored in such a way that can be done and that can be built into the software as well. If they have their own SLAs that they want to meet, then we're quite flexible in seeing what we can do on a case-by-case basis. And we've had a lot of people that have kind of put our paces to make sure, put us through our paces to make sure that our SLAs, we can meet them, and it's going to work for them and their clients.
So what about the security of the data, obviously in the data centers that you're using and across the wire and all that? I mean, there's a big, one of the big concerns that many Australian businesses have is, you know, wanting to have their data residing in an Australian data center. But even beside that, what sort of, you know, security do you have that would, for example, maybe give the paranoid a better feeling of comfort when it comes to storing their data offsite?
Yeah, I mean, look, that is a question that we get a lot with the big three, the medical, legal, financial. They need to make sure their data is going to stay inside the country. Now, we've seen other providers where they've said they've had servers in the country and they haven't actually been. So that's always a fun one. But in the case of security, we'd say that the customer would set their password locally. So before it even gets sent to us, it's then sent across a secure tunnel to us and it sits in that encrypted state. All that gets sent to us is a little key file, and that allows us to check the CRC of the files to verify that we're going to be able to restore from that data. But we can't actually access any of the files in it. It just sits there as it is encrypted.
So it's a fully trust no one sort of system.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So obviously, you know, if you've got your data secured and all that, I mean, not that many of us see us these days, but what sort of, you know, infrastructure, how have you got your arrangement for your files and your servers and your bandwidth and, you know, inside your data centers, what's the sort of magic behind the curtains there that allows you to achieve all this?
Yeah, okay. So obviously we've been designing this for a long time now. And as I was saying before, we've got different types of servers and storage setups for different types of data. So our storage nodes that are highly available, they're set up to run large files. So they primarily run Dell servers and Hitachi disks. However, we're always on the lookout for a solution that's going to provide better performance. And we can lose up to half our nodes and still operate as per usual. In terms of connectivity, we have a connectivity provided primarily through AMPCOM and AAPT. In Perth, we peer with Wakes, and in Melbourne, we peer with VicIX. Gives us multiple paths for redundancy, but also allows access to a lot of bandwidth, so we can generally receive data as fast as it can be sent to us. And another big plus that we like is that we're located in Perth DC and Next DC M1, and they're both ISO 27001 certified data centers. So that's sometimes a nice checkbox for people to give their customers as well.
Okay, so I mean, what sort? Can you give us any indication of what sort of data size now that you're looking at? How much data have you sort of got backed up in on those servers at sort of at this point in time?
Yeah, so we've, in terms of our client base, it ranges between, so we've got over 200 resellers that range in between, say, 1 terabyte and over 100 terabytes. In terms of our File Plus software, we've got over 1 million restore points, and that's a combination of File, SQL, and Exchange backup sets. For our Shadow Protect and Veeam, we're generating a total of just under 10 terabytes of data per day in both Perth and Melbourne. And currently we have a little under 3 petabytes of backup storage.
Cool. Okay. And you know, are you seeing this growing? Are you seeing more resellers coming on board using the backup services to do that? I mean, what's sort of the growth? Can you give us like a growth percentage that you're seeing maybe, you know, year on year or something? Is it something that is growing?
Yeah. So we're seeing about a 40 to 50% year-on-year growth. And a lot of that, traditionally we just had people that would come on board, they would give it a go and sell it to their current customers. Now we're seeing it, they see how easy it is to use, and then they're pushing to their current customers, then advertising. So the smart ones, they're pushing it more as their service, and they're the ones that will jump from, say, 1 terabyte up to, say 15 terabytes and actually make some decent money out of it. We're also seeing a lot of people that have tried to say do it themselves. So the problem with that is it comes down to the management and the cost. So for example, if it's an IT provider, are they going to purchase a NAS or a server to do this themselves? Is it going to be stored in the data center or in their office? If it's going to be in their office, then how secure is it? And if it's in a DC, then obviously that's going to be extra cost. How scalable is it? When it comes time for them to upgrade, are they going to have to spend a lot more on their hardware again? So we get quite a lot of MSPs that come to us after they've tried to make it work themselves or haven't been able to make it work reliably. They're at the point where they're working okay. They've managed to get some clients on board, and that choice between upgrading or allowing us to manage it. And they move to us because in terms of cost and running the service themselves and managing it, it's a lot more affordable just to come straight to us and have us do it for them.
Okay, so I mean, one of the biggest problems we face down here in Australia is obviously bandwidth limitations for many customers. So do you have the ability to seed the data? Can they ship you a USB or something to get the backup started rather than transferring the whole lot up?
Yeah. And that's something that I see as very important, and it's actually being dropped by some other providers, which I can't get my head around. So inside the portal, people have option to generate a drive seed. That basically just generates a ticket that we can track their hard drive that they send to us, and then we can send it back to them after the data's been restored. So especially handy when people are on ADSL connections, which is still, say, 70% of the end user base, and just do those incrementals across the wire each night.
And again, in the case of an emergency where obviously the you've got to do a bare metal restore, obviously getting the USB or getting a disk is the quickest way to make that happen?
Exactly, yeah. So in the same way that we do drive seeds, we have the restore process. So that's all done through the portal. It operates 24/7. So if you do need something in an emergency, we can be contacted after hours. And again, we generate tickets so you can track it along the way. We use Australia Post Express Platinum to get it to the rest of the country as quick as possible. Or if there's anyone near us, then they can come pick it up from us as well, or even provide their own couriers.
Okay, so we can obviously do, you know, the whole server. We can do the services like SQL and Exchange. And you were saying that you can also do the laptops potentially and that sort of thing. What about some mobile devices out there? Is there any, you know, way to back those up, do you know?
So we don't have any mobile software ourselves. But what we can do, we can open standard ports up. And that will allow any backup software that people might be using on their mobile devices, and that will allow just to send that data across to us. We're more of a vendor-neutral platform. So we just open up the standard ports and people can push that data across.
Okay, all right. And obviously the desktops as well, you can just do your ordinary laptop or road warrior, whatever, who's traveling around and needs to back up their machine?
Exactly. Yeah. So as I was saying, with our FilePlus software, we'd install that on a laptop or a desktop, just back up that critical data. Where we're seeing more of a growth is in the backup image department. So with Veeam and Shadow Protect, and basically all of our improvements have been around getting those integrations working well.
Right, so you're using, basically you're just the endpoint and you're sitting with Veeam and the Shadow Protect on top of it to push their backup files to your storage.
That's right, yeah. So in essence, that's exactly what it is. But what we've done in our latest Provax Control 2.0 version is put in some really good smarts to it. So with Veeam, for example, the reseller can set up their Cloud Connect repository on Provax. And what they can do then is they get insight into their backup jobs, so the hosts, the VMs, the restore points and types of backups that are sitting on our side, just so when it comes time to restore it, then they know that it's going to be able to be restored and not just kind of guessing and hoping that it's going to work when that time comes.
All right. Okay. So, I mean, what are you seeing as the trend sort of in this, you know, the cloud backup space, I suppose, or file storage or whatever you want to call it? I mean, what are the trends we're likely to see, you know, going forward? Obviously, you would tend to think that the cost per gigabyte or whatever or storage capacity unit is going to go down. But what about, you know, like, is it going to end up being a market of the big players or the regional ones going to stay? I mean, what's your feeling on what's going to transpire?
I think there's room in the market for both. So, for example, the big players, they are very low cost, and look, they're going to fight each other over that cost. We've always been of the mindset that we don't need to play in that space. We're okay being a premium service and charging a little bit more. However, at the same time, we're still low cost enough that we can be wholesale, sell to resellers, and they can add markup for their own clients as well.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, we're talking, major changes. And as obviously the amount of data that wants to be stored or backed up continues continues to grow. I mean, do you see that as, you know, being an issue going forward, you know, with the industry? I mean, more and more data seems to be backing, wanting to be backed up. Or is it going to be more a case of, like, you know, as people migrate to something like Office 365 or Google Apps or whatever, that the data is actually stored on Microsoft data centers and it's backed up there and it's maintained by them, and the reseller or the MSP isn't actually going to be backing up that sort of data anymore? I mean, what's your feeling as to the way it's going to move?
Yeah, so in that particular scenario, so over the past few years, we have seen a lot of people move towards hosted exchange. And obviously that size associated with it is now hosted at, so with Microsoft, for example. However, we find that there's the SMB will still have, say, a NAS device that's on-prem, so then they can still work off their local files and transfer it between the other computers in their office. And that's why we've developed our NAS integration, so that we can basically back up directly from the NAS to us, particularly for those people where they can't run Shadow Protect or Veeam because there's no server in the office anymore. They're just running that NAS device for their local file sharing.
Okay, and isn't sort of the challenge for the, you know, the MSP and perhaps the, you know, the storage market that you've got, that, you know, you're sort of looking at a commodity market where the costs are always going to be, you know, going down, you would hope, or generally seems to be the trend. I mean, isn't that, you know, we're looking at, if you're an MSP, you're going to have to add, you know, more and more volume, more and more clients on this service to sort of make, you know, money out of it. I mean, is that sort of the trend that we're going to see, you know, moving forward with as these sort of things become more and more commodities, more and more people sort of do this, provide these sort of options?
Well, that's the thing of people getting in now. It's securing customers going forward. So we always say that a backup customer is a sticky customer. So it helps an MSP keep that client with them, because it's like once an end user has that data stored and managed through their MSP, it's very hard for them to move, and they build up a nice relationship with them as well. So there's always going to be that natural growth of data as well, but then there's you need to be able to provide the smarts on top of it that can provide the management of data so it doesn't grow out of control. So otherwise the bill to the end user would just keep getting more and more and more. Whereas if it's under control with using, so some of the smarts that we have around Image Manager, then we can you can keep that under control, and the cost of the MSP, obviously that's going to come down as the cost of storage comes down, but they don't necessarily have to change their prices to their end user accordingly.
Okay, so I mean, as a direct comparison, so let's say how would you see yourself positioned differently from something like, you know, just the Azure backup? I would assume that you're probably going to say that the client that you have, your control, is more sophisticated than what's coming with something like Azure backup. I mean, is that a fair statement?
That's right. Yeah. And so it's mainly the smarts that we're providing on top of that, around using software that people already might have used or paid for their licenses. So we're saying keep using that software that they're already using and just replicate it offsite to us.
Okay. Would there be plans potentially, I mean, could you maybe look at taking the software and maybe potentially, you know, selling that as an item and then getting clients to point it to some other storage like Azure or AWS? Or is it the fact that your software is that well integrated with your infrastructure that sort of isn't really possible?
No, that's actually something that's part of our roadmap. So we call that self-host. So basically the ability to run our smarts of Probax on people's own infrastructure or virtualized infrastructure. So that'll be coming out in one of our releases over the coming months. And it comes back to the management side of things. So people can have that single dashboard for all of their types of backups. So no matter where they are, they've just got one window where they can monitor it all from.
Cool. Okay. Well, I think we've covered off obviously the side of the product and what you're doing and how you differentiate yourself from other players in the market. Also, a bit on the roadmap, and I think that would certainly provide a lot of flexibility for MSPs who may be looking to be able to do that in an AWS or maybe even an Azure environment, just adding a bit more smarts over the top of it that some of the current software from the provider doesn't give them. Is there anything else, you know, that you can see on the roadmap or that you want to maybe cover while we've got our audience here?
Yeah, so another feature we have coming is our archive storage, so very low-cost storage like some of the other bigger players are doing, but also the ability to auto-push certain data into the archive. So once a backup's been made a weekly or a monthly, been pushed out of their normal retention window, and we can automatically push that onto that low-cost stuff. It just keeps the medical, legal, financial kind of intact in terms of their regulations they need to meet. And obviously the self-host that we have coming soon, and we've got a few other storage locations coming around the country so that people can choose the data storage location that's best for them, and they can also replicate out to other storage locations to provide that geographic separation for their customer.
Okay. Anything else that you want to share with us?
Yeah, just our Probax Control 2.0 that's been released to our partners this week and will be released to the public in the next week or two. We've got a lot of Shadow Protect improvements. We're doing a lot of image manager improvements as well. So we've implemented our own fixes for common problems that people might have seen just using the software by themselves. We've got a new image manager farm that can now process over 1 million managed folders. And we've got a lot more in terms of insight, so in terms of customer growth and rise and fall of their data, so they can identify any problems before they arise. And also our traffic light system, so that an easy alert system of where there are errors and warnings that need to be fixed, and just having more visibility into the management of their customers' backups.
Cool. So again, if somebody's interested in learning more information, do you have a free trial or somewhere they can evaluate the software, or how can they sort of jump on board with this?
Yeah, definitely. Just jump on our website, www.probax.com.au. That's P-R-O-B-A-X. And there's an option there. They can get a demo. They can get a trial, test it out on some of their live users, see exactly how it works. And the easiest thing is to get their customers set up first and then start building them for it. Very, cool. Very straightforward. Yeah.
Okay, so let me just ask you, where did Probax come from? What's in that name?
Professional backups.
Ah, okay, very smart. Uh-huh. Obviously, not enough domain space left available. So, all right, so again, to round off, if you want to just give people a bit of a summary of your product and how you differentiate it, and then maybe some contact details for people who may want to get in contact with you directly to ask you any specific questions based on what they've heard today.
Sure. Probax is a reseller-driven cloud backup and management platform that allows resellers to monitor many different types of backups from different software vendors all in one place. Feel free to contact us on our website, www.probax.com.au, or speak to us at 1300 885 117.
Cool. All right. Well, again, I'll thank Kevin for coming on and sharing that information about the product. I think that obviously, there's a growing opportunity for people to do the backups. Having an option here locally with local data centers certainly removes a lot of the complications around some of the international providers. Having a local number to call and people who speak the same accent certainly goes a long way for, for many customers. And having an MSP dedicated model also resonates with a lot of resellers. So again, I thank you for sharing that with us in the audience. And again, I encourage people to contact Kevin and have a look at the product, because I do know a couple of people who did use the corporate backup and obviously what it's become and are still using it quite happily, which is good to see. And with that, I will call a close to this episode of the Need to Know podcast from the CIOps. You can reach me on the Twitter at DirectorCIA, or best place to keep up with what I'm doing in the cloud space is the blog at blog.ciaops.com. But with that, thank everybody for listening. You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIAOps. For guides on using technologies like SharePoint Online and Office 365, visit www.ciaops.com/publications. By purchasing from the selections available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact.